This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
My son, we're 260 pounds.
Just turned six. The average six-year-old, 3'9", 43 pounds. The average eight-year-old, 4'2", 55 pounds.
Doctor said he's the size of an eight-year-old.
Well, that's a good doctor.
He's the best.
He understands what's happening.
He's the best doctor.
He understands the freakish size of one Milo DiPietro at this point.
This is DCR.
Here's what concerns me a little bit, though, before we get into your Giants.
Why such anger? Your Giants? What did I do?
Well, you didn't do anything.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I love you just the way God made you, girl. He don't make
all right. You are with you, 6 o'clock hour, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We'll get into Deshaun Watson's situation, which continues to get stranger and maybe worse for him. Every seemingly day. We'll get into that about 6:15 this morning. CMT 6:45, Mike Tenenbaum, who, I don't know. See, he seems contentious and angry at this point because he's an early riser. Maybe he will join us at 7:15 this morning. So, left you off with this question, and Rick, you felt like you were a little angry about it. Most pressure for any GM this calendar year. And you think it's clearly Gettleman, huh?
Well, I don't know how it wouldn't be. I mean, I don't think there's no. I mean, the expectation isn't that the Giants are going to win a championship, but the expectation is that if they're not good and Daniel Jones isn't good, that he's going to get fired.
So what is that? What is that? How do you quantify that? Is it getting into the playoffs? Is it having a winning record? What is good that would be good enough to keep Dave Gettleman employed as general manager?
Can I say this without taking like a cop out way? Like it's the eye test. I don't know right now. Is if it's getting into the playoffs, if it's winning nine games, I would say this. If I get to the end of the year and I'm not a playoff team, but I look at the Giants and say, I have my quarterback, my team is good, I went 8-8 or 9-7 and just missed out on the postseason, I think that would be a successful season. I don't want to quantify it right now by saying they absolutely have to be a playoff team.
Yeah. See, if you frame it that way, Dave, then I don't know that Dave Gettleman has the most pressure on him. Now, he has the hottest seat, but I don't know if that's the most pressure because the bar is a little bit lower. Like, to me, when you start talking about pressure, that's tied to the expectations that you have for your team coming into the season. And nobody expects the Giants to compete at a championship level. Like, I would look around and I would probably say, Brian Cashman has a lot of pressure on him for the Yankees not to have gone to a World Series in over a decade. Like, it's about time for this team, this core players, to start winning championships. So I would probably look at him as the GM that has the most pressure on him this season.
I don't know what you want to tell. I would agree the Yankees and the Nets have the highest expectations.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I would probably even throw the Islanders in the mix with how well they played. But, I mean, I would define pressure as if we don't win, I'm going to get fired.
That's right. So maybe it's two different questions, right? Who has the highest expectations? That's clearly not the Giants. What GM, if things don't go well, will not be here next year? I think that's clearly Dave Gettleman and the Giants.
But how can you say that expectations, like the pressure is not linked to expectations, though? There's a relationship there. Like, there has to be, like, if you have expectations on your team this season, then there's a certain degree of pressure that comes along with it.
Well, I think
it.
Like, there is
like
pressure.
There's no pressure if you don't have high expectations.
I'm not saying there's not any pressure on Cashman or Sean Marks or Lou Lamoriello. I'm just saying that I think their jobs are safe, right?
Like, okay.
There's nothing. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. I don't know. But I think that no matter what happens, those guys will be back for another year. If Daniel Jones is bad and the Giants win six games again, Dave Gettleman is done. He'll never work in this league again.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, Dave. I hear you. I mean, who's to say how long Dave Gettleman will be the GM for the Giants anyway? Like, I mean, you're talking about the guy taking the job, and how old was he, 65? I mean, we knew Dave Gettleman wasn't going to be the Giants general manager forever. So, I mean, I don't know how much pressure is on him from the standpoint that, he's going to get fired. I don't know how much he's going to worry about that. I mean, I think the biggest thing is, has he found the franchise quarterback in Daniel Jones? I think there's pressure to be able to answer that question in the affirmative. I think that's where the most pressure on Dave Gettleman comes from this season, proving that he was right with taking Daniel Jones with the 6th overall pick a couple of years ago.
Yeah, maybe I just hate the question because you guys keep adding to the question. Like, I mean, he doesn't care if he's going to get fired. I mean, if my job is on the line, if we don't win, I don't care what the expectations are, then that's the most pressure.
And you don't want your lasting moment in the NFL to be, you know what, we're moving on from you. Although there's no way they're going to fire him. It'll be parting ways if things don't go well, right? He's decided to hang him up. I think they like him too much. But the question remains, if the Giants don't win, he will have failed. If Daniel Jones is not good, that's all on Gettleman, and you look at his era here with the Giants as a complete failure.
Well, because now where are you at? I mean, listen, if the Brooklyn Nets don't win a championship, right?
They'll win it next year.
Yeah, exactly right. Everyone will be disappointed, but they'll be back. If the Yankees don't win the World Series, I mean, I'm comfortable saying that even next year, they'll still be one of the favorites with how much talent they have.
Yeah.
If Daniel Jones can't play, where are the Giants at?
You're back to square one.
Okay. So, I mean, that's – yeah, I know the expectations aren't that high, but there's a lot riding on the season for the
Giants. So can we say highest expectations, one of the three, Yankees, Nets, or Islanders, most pressure, Dave Gettleman? Can we say that?
That's what I would say.
Here's the thing I just don't understand. It's just like, as a player, we used to say pressure is a privilege. Like, if you don't have expectations on the season that you're going to have, then there's how much pressure is there really? Like, do you really have pressure? Is it real? Like, I guess that's the way I always looked at it. Like, if you're not competing for anything, if you don't feel like you have true, aspirations to have a winning season or to be a playoff team or to compete for a championship, like, how much pressure do you really have on you as a player, as a coach, or as a GM?
Well, I mean, I could sit here and say, too, that, I mean, if you wanted to say player that has the most pressure, Daniel Jones has to be right at the top of the list, the most pressure on a player.
Yeah, well, I will say this also. If the Jets decide to keep Sam Darnold, he's got a seat right next to Daniel Jones, no?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of pressure on Joe Douglas, too, to make the right decision. But I mean, that pressure, we can push that down the road a little bit.
Yeah.
Depending on what he does. There's more pressure if he keeps Sam Darnold, because everyone will be uber focused on what this, what he looks like in year four. But, I mean, listen, I get what Canty is saying. As a player, I mean, the higher the expectations, the more pressure you naturally put on yourself. But I think when all of a sudden, like, it's... when your job is on the line, that adds a whole different level of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, if we're saying hottest seat, then I think it's no question Dave Gettleman. There's no question about that. Like, Dave Gettleman's job security of all the GMs around New York City sports, I mean, I think that's the one that's the most in question. Like, he has, again, he's probably the one that's looking around and saying, okay, we've got to answer some serious questions about the direction of our program. But in terms of overall pressure, I don't know, man. I look at that differently. But the biggest thing that has to happen is that he's got to have Daniel Jones show that he's capable of being the quarterback for the Giants for the next decade plus.
That has to be answered. It has to be answered this year. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, DCR. How you guys doing?
Good. What's going on, Cullum?
I'm doing great as a Giants fan, personally, after seeing these two signings. I love the Adoree Jackson pickup. I think it's not crazy to say right now that the Giants have the potential of having a top-five secondary right now. So that's beautiful to hear. But I want to just focus on what I think the Giants need to do in the draft now. I think they have to go offensive lineman at minimum, at least the first two rounds. One of those picks have to be an offensive lineman. I would say go at the 11th pick, get somebody, because, like, I think there's a possibility, like, somebody like Penei Sewell could fall. In the first top 10 picks, four or five of them are going to be quarterbacks. In the first 10 picks, three or four of them are going to be pass catchers in Waddle, Chase, Smith, or Pitts. So that leaves, two to three guys around. Somebody's going to take a defensive player. Someone's going to take a corner. There's a strong possibility we could get the number one offensive lineman or the number two offensive lineman available in the draft, and I think that's a must grab for the Giants.
Colin, let me ask you a question. Colin, what do you think what do you think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to do with their first pick?
I agree, but I see a lot of things that, it wouldn't be impossible that Ja'Marr Chase or wouldn't be impossible for them to trade down. I don't know what they're going to do. Anything is possible.
They're going to take an offensive lineman. Their quarterback almost got killed.
I doubt they don't, but, crazier things have happened in the draft.
Yeah, but Colm, here's the thing. And I get what you're saying, because I think we all agree that the offensive line needs to be upgraded for the Giants. I mean, the mentality of all of a sudden now forcing yourself at 11 to take an offensive lineman. That's how you get yourself fired. I mean, that's why the Giants have done what they've done, getting the wide receiver, getting the corner, because they want to have flexibility. They want to take the best player available at 11.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get stuck starting reach because you feel like you're drafting for a need.
No, absolutely not. I think that's what they've done, is they've put themselves in a position where they can go anywhere. But you're not saying that you would be dissatisfied if they took an offensive lineman, though,
No, are you? No, I just told you they need to upgrade the offensive line. Cullum's point was that at 11, that's exactly what you have to do.
No, I don't think. Here's the thing, and Chris, I think we've discussed this. The exact thing they have to do, which is nice, is there's nothing they have to do, right?
Yeah. You can
go offensive line. You can go receiver. You can go edge rusher. I mean, you can go anywhere you want right now.
No, and that's the beauty of what Dave Gettleman has done in the early part of free agency. Like, all of the things that we thought were holes for this roster, he's kind of addressed them, whereas if you went into the season with this particular team, it would be solid. Now, there are ways that you can upgrade it, and that's what he'll look to do early on. And to me, that means trying to use that 11th overall pick to address premium positions, positions that cost you a lot of money, especially when those guys are in free agency. So offensive line is one. Edge rusher is another one. Cornerback is also another one. So I just think those are probably the three areas that I would look for Dave Gettleman to kind of target with that pick. But if Rashawn Slater or Penei Sewell is able to slide to the number 11 pick, then I think you got a tough choice to make if you're Gettleman. But, I think offensive line to me would be the one, Dave. I'm kind of coming over to your position, because if you add another blue chip offensive lineman to the group that they already have, then, I mean, there really won't be any excuse as to why Daniel Jones can't be a productive quarterback this year.
You wouldn't think so. And I can't imagine that Sewell will be there at 11, but if he was there at 11...
Yeah, I don't think he's going to fall out of the top 10, but Rashawn Slater could possibly be there.
I think I might absolutely run up to the podium if I were the New York Football Giants. Even if you don't say the correct college of where that guy went to, I still think I would just run straight up to that podium.
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker, Clemson.
Yeah, Penei Sewell, tackle, USC.
You think they'll ever ask you back to do that again?
Probably not, Dave. Probably not.
Yeah.
I had one job to do, and I got it wrong.
Yeah, you were sabotaged, though.
Yeah.
There's a saboteur out there.
I want some investigative reporting done on this. I want to identify this man that ruined it for Chris.
They should bring in Bob Lee. To
outside the lines.
You know it's a big story.
Outside the lines.
Yeah. I want a full 30-minute outside the lines, or a 30 for 30 of what happened with the Giants' pick of Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping. I mean, listen,
in a world.
Vegas draft. I mean, now Canty's not going to enjoy. I mean, he's missed all these opportunities now because this one guy screwed it up for him.
Yep. This one guy.
Who's never been seen nor heard from since.
Nope.
Nope.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Which New York football GM has more pressure on them?
This is a huge year for Daniel Jones and Dave Gettleman, obviously. But I think for Joe Douglas, you know, Joe came in. He did a great job of setting the table. Obviously inherited Adam Gase. He was able to hire his own coach now. This is a huge year for Joe Douglas, in my opinion, because, again, if we're sitting here in 4 or 5 months, guys, who is that quarterback? Like, to me, it's an easy decision. It's Zach Wilson, Zach Wilson, Zach Wilson. I don't think they can win a championship with Sam Darnold, and I think that decision is going to go a long way to see how successful the Jets will be over the next couple of years.
I mean, you could say this is a bigger offseason right now, a bigger draft for Joe Douglas, but I don't think there's more pressure on Joe Douglas than there is on Dave Gettleman.
No, it's a pressure-packed – I mean, this is a pressure-packed decision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever he does with the quarterback at number two, or keep Sam, and this is him setting himself up for future success or a lack of success.
Yeah.
But it'll be the same position that Dave Gettleman's in, right?
If they trade Sam, this will be your Darnold, Daniel Jones at six pick. Whatever you do at two will define you as a GM.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, Dave Gettleman has already made that choice. With Joe Douglas, he's still trying to figure it out. He's still trying to find – you know, the guy that he thinks would be his quarterback of the future, whether it's staying with Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or Trey Lance. So, I mean, I get what Mike T is saying from a pressure standpoint. Like, there is more pressure right now on Joe Douglas to make sure that he gets this decision right. With Dave Gettleman, I mean, there's pressure to support the decision that he made a couple of years ago, but the decision is already made.
Can I say one thing about Dave Gettleman, too? Because, I mean, it's so far so good as his offseason is going.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The only signing I don't really understand, and I don't know if this is just because, you know, this guy is supposed to be someone that doesn't put, you know, pressure on your starting quarterback. You don't want people, you know, fans, because everyone loves the backup, you know, chirping, we want to see this guy. But you got to explain me the Mike Glennon signing as the backup.
Well, I mean, you think Mike Glennon's far off from Colt McCoy?
I don't think Mike Glennon's good at all.
Like, I don't think Colt McCoy's good either.
Yeah, I don't think there's much of a difference.
Yeah, it'd be
I'm saying why not upgrade the position, though? Daniel Jones, I mean, has a tendency to get hurt. Wouldn't you want someone with a similar skill set that can run your offense? Glennon is not a mobile, like, he's not an athletic guy.
Okay, who would that guy be?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's names available that were better. I mean, Tyrod Taylor would have been a good.
That's a lot. How much money did he just
yeah,
got
he got
paid.
12. Yeah, he got what, $12 million?
Yeah.
Who else?
I mean, Mitch Trubisky's interesting.
Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky would have been interesting.
What did he sign for, $2.5 million?
Mm-hmm. That was a great deal by the Bills.
Great deal.
But if you sign Mitch Trubisky, then you got Daniel Jones looking over his shoulder.
And that was what I was going to say.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get what he was doing. Having a competent guy that could be in the room with him to help him break down the tape of the opposing defense, you know, leading up to game day. Like, I think with Dave Gettleman, he wants somebody that can help Daniel Jones think the game, think the position, more so than somebody that's capable of stepping in a pinch if you need him to.
I think you're in a position right now, sadly, you're the Giants, where if Daniel Jones is not...
It's a wrap for Dave Gettleman.
Whether it's Colt McCoy or Mike Glennon or whoever it's going to be, you're in heaps of trouble. Heaps of trouble. Harvey in Irvington. Good morning, Harvey. You're on 98.7.
Guys, nice to meet y'all, man. I've been listening to the show since it was just Alan Hahn and DiPietro. I remember Canty used to call here and there, and I remember when y'all made the whole switch when Hahn went to 7 o'clock and Rothenberg came in the morning. I really appreciate listening to y'all guys. I'm actually up just listening to it. Just hear me out real quick.
You're like a station historian, Harvey. I love it. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I remember when we drafted, when the whole thing happened with the Saquon Barkley draft, and I wasn't sure about that. When y'all were saying, should we take Darnold or such and such, I wasn't really sure until I seen us play that year after we drafted Barkley. I was like, oh, man, the boys was right. We should have took a quarterback because we looked at exactly the same, even with Saquon Barkley and Brandon Marshall. But past all that, I was just letting y'all know how much I listen to the show. But I think we should definitely have the guard for the Colts right now or Roquan Smith. We should have traded back that year if we didn't like Sam Darnold or Josh Allen or any of them. That's what I think we should have did, and we'll have a staple player like that guard from the Colts or a linebacker like Roquan Smith. That's what I honestly think we should have did. But moving forward, as far as everything that I see right now, I think we should take Mekhi Parsons because of the scheme that we run. Like I said, I like Tay Crowder and everything that he did, but after these signings
Tay Crowder is not in the same universe as Mekhi Parsons. You can't compare those
exactly.
Two.
So now I think them free agent signings put us in position to take a guy like that and try to take our defense to the next level. What you got? I'm a hand up, let me know what you guys think about that.
I mean, if I'm gonna use the 11th overall pick on a defensive player, it's got to be a pressure player. That would be a corner or edge rusher, somebody that can directly impact the passing game. I don't know that I would go inside linebacker. That's just me.
They say it's a big difference maker. I don't know. I wouldn't have a problem with that if they took part.
Yeah, but doesn't he have character concerns too?
Yeah, well, that's a bigger issue, yes.
Yeah, I don't.
I can't imagine that Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge are going to start
doing that again. Joe Judge is going to want to get their arm
around that. Saw that DeAndre Baker situation worked out.
You had to bring that up, huh? All right.
Well, no, it was good with character. I mean, there were a bunch of character concerns.
Well, that's
about
what's
DeAndre
so frustrating
Baker.
About that is I remember talking to people before the draft saying DeAndre Baker, he's got some real off-the-field issues. And the Giants were like, remember that Gettleman was defiant? Oh, he's got no issues. He's fine. He's going to be great with us.
I don't think anyone expected the kind of issues that he got himself into. But well, I mean,
you
again,
know what? I don't think anybody was shocked that he got himself into trouble off the field, though.
That kind of trouble, I was a little bit shocked. But I mean, but even you spend all this time, like, we can't just throw a bunch of money at Kenny Golladay. We got to have him in. We have to have him in because we need to make sure he fits what we're trying to do here.
And you did the same thing with Jackson.
So, I mean, obviously, it should be important. I don't know if you'd be in a spot where Micah Parsons is great, but if there are some concerns, I mean, to Chris's point, I'm going edge pass rusher or no offensive line with 11 if I can.
That's I'd go O-line.
I mean, those are premium
receiver.
Positions.
Yeah,
you're
going to
try to get a premium
corner.
Position
yeah.
first.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Rico. Premium position.
The kid from Virginia Tech had back surgery yesterday. I guess he's going to probably fall in this draft. So apparently, RJ tells me that Scott Nalbany has an obsession. Calls all the time and wants to talk about the Denver Broncos. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. What's the obsession with Drew Lock and the Broncos?
No, just... I'm a Denver Bronco diehard stuck here in Albany, and I hear you guys talk about Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones, and I see Drew Lock sitting at the same kind of table where his first couple seasons were kind of meh at best, and, you know, he's going into this year. We got, you know, a lot of cap space. We've been shoring up the defense, and, you know, there's going to be a judgment on Drew Lock with this new GM. You know, they're sitting at number 9. Do you see him maybe trading up for one of the top quarterbacks? Or, you know, do they sit at 9? Or do they make a run at Deshaun Watson? I don't know. I see Drew Lock sitting at that same kind of table, and I just wanted your guys' thoughts. Love the show. Thanks.
Yeah, well, appreciate it.
Well, I think Denver was in on Deshaun Watson, but I can't imagine that there's much moving on that front right now with all of these lawsuits that have been filed on Harris County. So I think they've kind of pushed the pause button on that. But as far as what they're going to do in the draft, I think everything's on the table for John Elway. I mean, for all of the good things that he's been able to do as general manager, he has not been able to find a quarterback. And Drew Lock leaves a lot to be desired. I mean, it's in terms of it being set up for Drew Lock, it's all right there. Like, we're talking about excuses going away for Daniel Jones. Well, the excuses are going away for Drew Lock this season, too. Because if he can't make it work with this supporting cast that he has on the offensive side of the ball, then he's just not your guy.
I don't think he's their guy anyway. They have to be looking to upgrade that position, especially in that division. I mean, look at the two quarterbacks,
At the
quarterbacks
in that division. You have the best in the game. You maybe have the best young one in the after his rookie year of Herbert.
And Derek Carr is a solid quarterback too.
A really good quarterback, an underrated quarterback. And then you have Drew Lock. Like, which doesn't belong and why? That would be your answer there, I would think.
I think you know. Yeah, I mean, that's the answer to your question.
Yep.
But, I mean, the Denver Broncos were one of the teams that it sounded like Deshaun Watson would be interested in being traded to. But, again, I mean, that situation, who knows what's going to happen
with
that situation.
Yeah, that's very, very fluid. We'll get to that in just a couple of moments, what's going on with Deshaun and Houston. And it's now up to 13 allegations. This Hoops update brought to you by Resorts World Catskills, featuring live table games, sports betting, all-suite hotel rooms, and thousands of slots. Your closest resort experience, Resorts World Catskills, only 90 minutes from New York City. So close. I tried to tell you, RJ, yesterday, Iowa was just not going to go on a run, and they did not. They got hammered by Oregon, 95-80, the final there. Gonzaga fell behind early by 8, but they come back to beat Oklahoma by 16. UCLA all over Abilene Christian. Creighton moves on over Ohio. Michigan, a dogfight, but they get by LSU by 8. Colorado hammered at the hands of Florida State. The Big Ten and their disaster continues. Alabama beats Maryland by 19. And how about this? USC 85-51 over Kansas last night. That is a butt-whooping. Whew.
Mobley brothers, baby. I don't know why I didn't pick USC. Idiot.
Why? Were you considering USC?
Yeah, I mean, in the moment I was considering USC, yeah.
Where were they as far, you know, like in the flow chart? Was USC, did they get their own thought bubble? How did that work?
Yeah, they did. I mean, there was it was split, and then it was just a feel thing for me.
Did you ask the landscaper, and he told you don't take USC? How did it?
No, I don't trust the landscaper.
You don't trust him.
If you see my lawn, I don't trust the landscaper. No.
So where do you go to the golf prodigy next door?
Tennis prodigy.
The tennis prodigy next door, right?
His dad's a big sports fan. I'll call him up, ask him. Whoever calls me, really. Like, if I get text messages from people, I'll just randomly.
So anybody, like a friend could be reaching out from high school. Rick, how you doing? Hey, listen, I'm good. How are you? How's the family? Do you like BYU in this first round matchup? Like,
yes.
Anybody.
Correct. Yeah, because I'm just looking for that one nugget or someone that has, like, this supreme confidence in the decision.
So you know, like, it's all about confidence with you. They
yes.
could know nothing. They could not know that the tournament is going on. But if you talk to them and they say, listen, Florida State will absolutely go to the Final Four, now you're swayed.
Well, yeah, I mean, now they're all of a sudden they're part of the flow chart. Like, their opinion goes up there, and then I decide, you know, he or she was real confident. It's like when your dad tells you something. Like, and he seems real confident about it, you just buy into it, you believe it.
It's a terrible way to go through the selection process, though.
But it's not the, I mean, that's not the only portion of the selection process. That's one of the pieces to this algorithm.
That's my point, that there's so many pieces within the selection process.
Oh, and yet I'm the one that still has the national champion. And,
well, I think
you don't.
Chris, who'd you pick to win the whole thing?
Gonzaga.
Yeah, he does as well.
Yeah, but Chris is criticizing
you.
I'm not having a conversation with Chris right now. Chris and I are on the same page. We didn't try to get cute with who's going to win the national championship. You try to get cute,
and you're criticizing
my flowchart. Chris is not criticizing my process.
I'm just laughing at the amount of time you put into it. I'm not criticizing the thought process.
No, I was just wondering, too, who won the NFL picks? Same process. Who won the NFL picks? Right. Oh, that was me, wasn't it?
It's probably taking years off your life, though.
It doesn't matter.
I'll be 85 feet up in Miami, and you'll be, you know.
Yeah, you'll be an old, melted candle loser with your feet up, and I'll be a dead winner. That's fine.
That's right. Okay. All right. I'd rather be the old loser.
I can live with that.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
What are we doing right now?
What's the matter?
I thought we had this conversation.
What did I do?
In the pacing conversation, let the music play a little bit. I spent, I don't know how long with Cassie yesterday, trying to pick songs that we could play today. And the first thing you do, the second the song starts playing, you come right in.
I didn't feel like I came back that quickly. I felt like I gave
Well, I think
time.
You need to recalibrate. Because you're coming in pretty much immediately.
RJ, you be the arbitrator here. Was that unacceptable what I did there? Or was Rick being a big baby?
I don't think it was unacceptable. I don't think you did anything wrong. I know, but I do know.
So call him out then.
Well, he's upset with you. But
I'm done. I'm done. I'm done.
Why are you done?
Because I will say your comebacks from the breaks are inconsistent at best.
Thank you, Santiago.
I mean, you know what? Forget. I can't do anything right.
Well, so everyone's Chris, show's on you, I guess. We're down two guys.
I mean, he's done. I should be done. For some reason, I can't do anything right. I mean, you try to start the show 2 weeks ago, and you can barely speak the English language. I don't let them
hear
the
here we
player,
go.
And all of a sudden, I'm beat up
Good
for
Thursday
it.
Thursday morning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday. A lot to get into today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Yeah, see, the beauty of that open is you don't even realize the beauty of that open is you can actually play music in between my sentences.
That's right. You can have guests in between sentences there.
Now, that's pacing. You want to talk about pacing? I can take phone calls in between sentences.
All right, Santi, give me the music again. We'll try it again. We'll redo it. Go ahead.
They tell me think with my head, not that thing in my chest. They got their hands at my neck this time. But you're the one that I want.
Whatever you like.
That's really so wrong.
Now you're just going to be...
I'm not going to jump the music.
Now you're
going to
be a bad
song.
Guy. No one's going to let the song finish.
All right. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. Are we okay now? Is it better?
Well, I'm going to be the one that gets yelled at.
How are you going to... Now, been yelled at by anybody at the station?
Well, no, I'm not talking about the station. My wife is going to yell at me.
Well, she should.
Like, this list involves her songs as well, so she's listening to the show. Like, she wants to hear the songs. She selfishly wants to hear the songs, and you're just bigfooting all over them.
Well,
so I'll get yelled
at.
I
gave her another opportunity to hear the song. She got 2 inches.
She'll be happy with that. Well, she always defends you for some reason. I don't really
What do you mean for
it.
Some Because she gets it. That's why. She understands what I'm up against.
Oh, you're up against. Please
that's
stop
That's right.
It.
Got two
Kathy
bullies
and I are your
here.
Biggest supporters. I'm trying to toughen you up. You've never been as tough in your entire life. First of all, you never looked as good. You've never been as skinny. And you've never been as mentally strong as you are right now.
I was fat at one point. All right. I'll take it. Whatever you guys are selling, I will take it. I don't know how to appropriately make the transition, so let's just go and do it. Texans starred Deshaun Watson, now facing 13 sexual misconduct lawsuits. They are under investigation now by the NFL. Chris, what started as one is now up to 13. I still stand by. You give him the benefit of the doubt, but it is, for lack of a better term, troubling. And I think if you're a team looking to trade for a quarterback, you might take pause with Deshaun Watson right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're a team that was in on the Deshaun Watson trade market, I mean, that goes away right now. Like, I mean, there's no way that there's a team out there that can pull the trigger on making that decision and making that trade as it currently stands, just because with these 13 civil suits that have been filed in Texas, like, you just, that the sheer number of suits, you know, leads you to pause. I mean, it certainly feels like there is a pattern of behavior here. And so, you know, even though we have to give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt and, you know, innocent until proven guilty, I mean, I just feel like this is one of those that's hard to ignore. The perception of the situation is ugly for Deshaun right now, because it's like, how can you explain away 13 different accusers? They can't all be in to try to set this guy up. So I guess that's kind of how a lot of people in the court of public opinion are looking at it. So I don't know when this thing is going to get resolved, but right now, Deshaun Watson is in a really tough spot.
Yeah, Tony Busby actually said, too, he was going to file. I mean, he was supposed to have filed at 14th last night. So that'd be up to 14. I just don't know how. You guys are going to have to answer this question for me. How in these situations with this many lawsuits, if you're Deshaun Watson, do you prove your innocence? Like, if this is an experience between you and this masseuse, this massage therapist, how do you prove your innocence?
I don't know.
If there's 14?
I don't know if there's a silver bullet to remedy this situation, Rico. But, I mean, it's just the one thing that I will say is curious about the whole thing is that all of the accusers are represented by this one attorney. Like, you know, nobody's going out and using a different attorney, different counsel. But, I mean, for Deshaun, it's just like, to be in this type of situation, to solicit massage therapists on Instagram because your massage therapist that you usually use is unavailable due to COVID. I just feel like that was the wrong way to go about it. Like, I just feel like he put himself in this situation, and now, you know, he's subject to these lawsuits. It's just a lack of judgment, to say the least. I mean, even before we get to whether or not he actually did what he's being accused of, the fact that he put himself in this situation,
yep,
is a lack of judgment.
Now, I don't know if you guys saw this. I guess on Friday, TMZ claims they acquired a screenshot of what Deshaun Watson sent to one of the massage therapists. And if this is true, I mean, this is really awful. Sorry about you feeling uncomfortable. Never were the intentions. Let me know if you want to work in the future. My apologies.
Yeah, I don't think that's as...
Yeah, I don't think that's an admission of guilt or anything.
No.
Yeah.
Well, then that's not a good look.
Well, and that's what we're talking about,
Dave. But
that's
to Chris's point, though, putting yourself in that position. I mean, the massages that, as an athlete, you need, I mean, there are some you know, areas that could potentially be uncomfortable for people to work on. So if you're soliciting massages on Instagram with someone that you've never worked with before, and you have an expectation of, you know, this is how I normally get massages, you run the risk of the person that you hired feeling uncomfortable. Like, hey, I need you to get...
But 14?
No.
You're on the risk of making 14 people potentially uncomfortable?
No. See, listen, you're misconstruing. I'm saying what you just read. I agree with the whole, it's tough to believe that, and apparently there's more. This is just 14 that have been filed. Here's what's crazy, though, I'm not sure if you guys saw this today, that if you go back, remember, Busby apparently contacted Deshaun Watson's people.
Yeah. That was for the one case, right?
Yeah, but that was back in February. This one of these new lawsuits is the assault happened on March 5th.
Yeah.
So they've already been told that there's going to be, you know, the civil lawsuit's probably going to happen.
And then he potentially continues to do it, right? And,
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have another one on March 5th.
This, and apparently the NFL's now going to do their own investigation. It's certainly not.
They have to.
They have to investigate it.
Of course they have to.
Yeah.
But it's not. Let's go to Jay in Queens. Jay, you're next up on 98.7.
Hi, good morning, guys. Love the show, as always. Just a quick question. I was actually talking to my father about the Deshaun Watson thing, and all of the allegations, obviously, are in Houston. I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy, but I just do find it a little peculiar that he brought up to me. He said, don't you notice now that he was trying to force a trade? All of a sudden, these allegations are coming out on a guy that had such a pristine character. I mean, he was like the new Russell Wilson. And it went from that to all these allegations. And I think we all know as males, not to say it's right or wrong, but allegations don't have to be true to stick and kind of ruin things for a person. So, I mean, I'm not saying that it's a conspiracy thing, but...
So what are you saying, though? I mean, just you're telling us that you think that Houston...
Okay, so let's just say, for instance, the Houston owner doesn't want to be embarrassed. He could, you know, by right, hey, we could just throw some allegations out there. it'll stop the trade process from happening. It put Deshaun,
But time out. Listen, and I know initially that was kind of like you start connecting dots because
we all had that thought initially.
Well,
yes.
Busby's his neighbor and everything else. But you realize, I mean, what you're saying, if that would end up being the case, like they would have to.
He's out
to
of
sell
the NFL.
The football team.
Cal McNair is out of the NFL. Yeah.
Like, they're selling the team.
You know, you'd be forced to sell the team. You'd have to.
Yeah, I could just go back to that one thing, though. The one thing that bothers me about all of this is just, like, this one attorney seems like everything is orbiting around him when it should be about trying to get to the truth of the matter and what's going on with these women. I don't know, man. It just feels like this is off. For all of a sudden, for all of this to just happen in the last calendar year, it just seems a little bit strange. It makes you raise an eyebrow. Now, I'm one of the people that's in the camp of if Deshaun Watson did this, then he deserves everything that's coming to him. He deserves to be castigated. He deserves to have the opportunity to play in the NFL taken away from him. Like, all of those things. But I just feel like just with the timing of all of this and it just feels like this is happening at a point where it can inflict maximum damage on Deshaun Watson. And as an attorney, Busby is probably trying to put as much pressure on Deshaun Watson as he possibly can to see if he can get the result that his clients are looking for.
And I think so far he's done that.
Yeah, in a big way. I mean, I think the public perception has changed greatly on Deshaun Watson.
Well, and also he's showing that there's a pattern of behavior, right? I think what feels... What feels kind of gross about the situation is just because of, like Chris mentioned, the timing, but also, I mean, you go back and you look at some of this Tony Busby stuff. I mean, buying the billboards to keep Johnny Manziel in in Texas. Like, there's clearly, like, he has a connection to football in the state of Texas. So, I mean, if he's putting up billboards to keep Johnny Manziel in Texas, you don't think he wants Deshaun Watson to stay in Texas?
Fair enough. But the guy, and even if he's a shady attorney, I mean, this goes beyond being a shady attorney. There's 14 women that he has somehow found.
I'm just saying that's initially what feels kind of...
Yeah, initially it does. But, I mean, listen, what's the old phrase? There's strength in numbers? 14? I mean, it has to at least raise your eyebrows, no?
No, it does, Dave. It absolutely does. That's a huge number. That's a huge, huge thing when it comes to that many women coming up and accusing Deshaun Watson of sexual assault in some shape, form, or fashion. But I also think it's a little bit curious that all 14 of these women are choosing Tony Busby to be their attorney. Like all 14 of them?
See, I don't think that's as peculiar.
Okay.
If you're one of these massage therapists and, you know, you've had an experience with Deshaun Watson that didn't sit right with you, and all of a sudden you see, you know, Tony Busby, you look at his track record of, you know, how many cases he's won, and he's already representing, you know, three of the women.
Yeah.
That would be the first person.
Right, you would jump on board with that lawsuit.
Well, I mean, I thought it was curious, but I also heard Mike Florio talk about it on Pro Football Talk yesterday, and he's an attorney by trade, and he says that's also curious, and it gets to the point where some of these women would be better served going with a different attorney to represent them in their allegations, just because you don't want the attorney that's in the middle of this, Tony Busby, to be the story.
Let's get to a couple calls. Let's go to Kay in East Orange. Kay, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning. Robin Burke, I just don't understand it. When I say I don't understand it is 13 people can come up and they can say he did this. Nobody ever heard anything in regards to that. I mean, like, look, he had a prestige reputation.
So what? Hang on a second, Kay. I'm not saying he did anything wrong. There's no factual evidence of that. But I don't care if he's the most savory, wonderful character in the world. It doesn't mean that he didn't do this. So how can you sit here and take the other side? I'm not saying he did, but how can you sit here and tell me that he didn't?
You can't. You can't. We don't know enough yet. All we're going by is the fact that there's 13 lawsuits now. It looks like there could be a 14th one on its way. My only question would be this. If, and this is why I said it initially, it's, you know, putting yourself in these positions.
Yes.
I don't know how you prove your innocence at this point.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, but I just don't know how. How in a situation like that where it's, like, even that text message you read, Dave, like, why she feels uncomfortable, that's going to be, you know, her word against Deshaun's word. Right? Like, what made you feel uncomfortable? So whatever she says is going to be, because you have no way to prove it. How is he going to prove it?
He can't prove it.
He can't prove it. And the other side of it is they can't really prove it either. I mean, the only proof that you're taught that everybody's looking at is the sheer number of accusers that has come out. And by that alone, people are saying, well, that's the pattern of behavior. Yeah, we're saying it's a pattern of behavior, but nobody can prove anything because only those two individuals were in the room. So unless there's some kind of communication that we don't know about, there's some kind of video that we don't know about, this really is one of those she said, he said type of situations. But in terms of where Deshaun Watson is at right now, like the damage is already done because the optics of the situation, it's ugly. And on top of that, you have an adversarial relationship with the franchise that employs you. So, I mean, I just think that this is one of those situations that's going to take a while to play out. But I don't know how Deshaun Watson comes out of this with his reputation intact.
Unless we find out truth that this is all a made-up scam or sham by the Texans.
But how would we ever find that out, Dave?
I don't know. But we're going to find out more. We're going to find out more as we move forward. This is not the end of this story. It's not going to go away. There's going to be some information that as we move forward.
No, I'm not saying there won't be, Dave. I just don't think that there's going to be this smoking gun that's going to absolve Deshaun Watson of all wrongdoing. Like, and to Rick's point, I just feel like as a professional athlete, you got to be smarter. You can't put yourself in this type of situation. Like, even if it comes out that all of this stuff was false, that these allegations, none of this stuff took place. Like, if you're Deshaun Watson, why would you solicit massage therapists on Instagram because your regular therapist is unavailable?
Think about that for a second. Soliciting a massage therapist in another city that you don't know.
And flying them in.
And then apologizing on text.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
It's not a good spot
to put yourself into.
Tax refunds are great for fresh starts, especially in 2021. Refresh your ride with your refund at Mako and make the year one you'll never forget. Head to Mako.com to get a free estimate. Do it today. Uh-oh, better get Mako. This Hoops update brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you the Hoops update. Thankfully, there's no Hoops tonight. Thank God there's no Hoops tonight.
Hoops. We got the Knicks tonight.
Well, but no, college Hoops update.
Oh, you're right. You could use the day off. You look like you're worn out a little bit.
Worn out. And on a Tuesday, too. Worn out. So Saturday, the Sweet 16. Sunday, the Sweet 16. Monday, the Elite Eight. And Tuesday, the Elite Eight. So I'll look like this again, early stages of next week. All right, we'll get back to the Deshaun Watson story. It's a big story. It's a troubling story. It's a concerning story. And it's something we want to discuss. We will in about 8 minutes. Let's get to a little CM.
To cuddle.
Tell you what, Rico, I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Yes, Dave, you were right yesterday. We have a Sweet 16. Iowa's out. I might boycott the state of Iowa. I've never been there. This may be a reason to never go there.
Field of Dreams game.
I'm not going.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. So, Gonzaga's left, as is Baylor, the two favorites all year long. So I asked this question a week ago. I will ask it again today. Cuddle, marry, or trash Gonzaga or the field? As Gonzaga being the favorite, obviously.
I'll go first. I'll go first. Ahead. I'll marry it. I'll keep it quick. I'm gonna marry it. Not only do they win, all they do is win by double digits.
Yeah, they really are a terrific team. And the more you watch them, the more impressed you are. I will cuddle it. I still like Michigan, and I still like Baylor, but you'd be foolish to say that they're not the favorites right now in the tournament.
Yeah, I'm going to marry it as well. I think Gonzaga and Baylor are the only two teams that I have still alive for the Final Four, so I'm going to marry Gonzaga.
All right. So some sports books now have the Nets as the title favorites. Not shocking after LeBron's injury. Brooklyn, a 15 and 2 run right now, pretty much entirely without Kevin Durant. So, cuddle, marry, or trash the Nets. Keep in mind, some of these guys that are injured for the Lakers are going to come back, we think. But the Nets as title favorites now.
Wow.
It's out there in the open. Now, we've talked about it, but now it's happening. So
now it's in the open.
That's right. I'll go first here if you'd like.
Yeah, you go first because I think I'm leaning Cuddle, but you go first.
I'm gonna marry it as the favorites. Now, if you said to me Nets are the field, I think I'd still take the field. But Nets as the favorites, yeah. I don't know about Anthony Davis. I got LeBron banged up. Brooklyn is phenomenal. I don't see any way they're not coming out of the East. Nets as the favorites, I'm married. Yes.
Yeah, I got to marry that, too. I don't trust the two teams at the top of the standings in the Western Conference. And then when it comes to my Lakers, as much as I love LeBron, he can't do it alone. And Anthony Davis is still a huge question mark. So, I got to marry Brooklyn.
Let me ask you guys a question, though. What happens if, God forbid, over the next couple days, when Kyrie's taking this three-game absence because of personal reasons, you start seeing photos of him at his birthday party? Well, what do you do
look, but what do you, I mean, would that surprise, first, two questions. A, would it surprise you? B, as long as he comes back at some point and he plays the way he plays, does it really matter, ultimately?
Only guys it matters to is the guys in the locker room. If they're okay with it, then it's going to be fine.
I couldn't even imagine. I said Lakers yesterday, so I'll stick with it. I'll cuddle the Brooklyn Nets.
All right, so that sort of leads me into my next topic. So the Rockets beat the Raptors. The Rockets had a 20-game losing streak, which is horrifying.
Saber-esque.
The Sabres, they're not there yet, but they're on their way. They're on their way after another loss to the Rangers. They lose to everyone. So, the Rockets being as bad as they are, does that actually help? So, this isn't the question yet, but does that help James Harden's MVP hopes? Because they're not a real team without him. I know they've lost other guys. But listen to this on James Harden. So, he leads the league in minutes per game. The guy shows up every single night. He leads the league in assists per game. He's actually only played two less games than Kyrie, which is going to change here in the next week. So let's check back in here as well. Cuddle, marry, or trash Harden as MVP.
Well, you know Rick's going to marry this one.
I'll cuddle it. I mean, James Harden is the guy that facilitates everything for the Brooklyn Nets. Like, he was the one that was going to have to change his role if the Nets were going to be a true title contender, and he's come in, and it's been a seamless fit. So, I mean, based on where the Brooklyn Nets are, the success the team is having, and his role with this team, yeah, I'll cuddle right up next to James Harden being an MVP candidate.
Dave's right. Listen, I said this months ago. I'm going to stick with it. I will marry the beard. I will marry James Harden, MVP.
Now, there's two ways to look at this. There's the, is he deserving of MVP conversation? Yeah, I think he's deserving. Does he have any chance to win the MVP? He does not. And for that reason...
Well, how does he not?
LeBron James
could miss 6 to 8 weeks.
He's not going to win the MVP.
Okay, LeBron James could... Time out. Let's go through the names that you thought were going to win it before RJ asked you this question. LeBron James...
Who do I think is going to win it? I think Jokic is going to win it.
The Brooklyn Nets are going to end up with the best record in the East.
Yeah.
You can try to spin it however you want. He's seventh right now, and the odds of who's going to win
the
MVP.
You with Vegas. You just sit here and criticize Vegas because you don't think the Giants are the worst team in the division. And now all of a sudden you're gonna hang your hat on what Vegas
is saying? So you don't look at it realistically at all that they have any idea what they're talking about? Right now, Jokic is even money, and Harden is 11-1. So what do you want me to do, not look at that?
No, you can look at that, but I mean, don't be afraid to have your own opinion. If the Brooklyn Nets end up with the best record in the East, Denver's not going to have the best record in the West.
You can yell at me. You can get angry about it. It can upset you. That's fine. James Harden is not winning the MVP.
Okay.
He's not.
Okay.
I think he's terrific. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. He's not winning the MVP. It will not happen. Mark it down.
Strong.
Mark it down. You know what?
March 23rd.
You know what, guys? Keep this little nugget. Keep this little gem of us going back and forth. And when they announce Jokic as the MVP, then we can revisit this, please. Ridiculous. Let's let the music play out, because music is what makes
everything,
the show.
Everything goes back to Vegas unless Vegas says something you disagree with, and then you'll criticize Vegas.
Well,
how dare you
say
the Giants are going to be fourth in the division?
Okay.
Vegas has no idea what
Harden's
they're talking about.
Harden will win the MVP. That's fine. That's fine.
No, but I mean, you don't even give it a thought.
I do give it a thought, but I think you have to be realistic. He's nowhere near one of the favorites to win this thing.
You're going to spend the rest of the season, you're going to have Kyrie going in and out of the lineup because he needs maintenance days. Even when they bring KD back, he's not going to play every game on the way to finish the season off.
No.
And James Harden will have played every single game, and they'll be the first. They'll be in first place in the East.
Okay, and that's fine. And I think he's a terrific player, and I think he's worthy of MVP consideration. It was asked, is he going to win it? My answer is, he's not going to win it. And the odds are in my favor right now that he has very little chance, if any, to win the MVP. That's all
I'm
saying.
I have never wanted anything more in my life than for James Harden to win the MVP.
Good. You'll be wrong. You'll be wrong.
I may grow out a full beard in support.
Good. I'll tell you what. If James Harden wins the MVP, I will not shave for a month.
What good does that do me?
What do you mean?
It embarrasses
me.
Release the video.
You love that.
James Harden wins the MVP. Release the video. James Harden wins the MVP. You got to release the video.
Stop it.
I think that's.
I gave you a beautiful opportunity, and you're wrong.
Have some conviction in your pick. I mean, if you're that confident,
not shaving for a month,
put the video on the line.
There you go.
So what do I get in return then?
The satisfaction of knowing that you were right.
No, I need a lot more than satisfaction.
What do you want? Tell me what you want.
I would like you to make a donation to a charity.
But see, now, okay, I'm going to say no to that.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
How am I going to say no to that?
Well, let's come up with a number. Let's come up with the number.
Well, you tell me what the number is.
250.
Done.
250.
Yeah, so if James Harden's not the MVP, I'll donate $250 to a charity.
Mm-hmm. You gave $250 so easily. RJ's in my ear saying I took it too quickly.
No, if Harden, if no, I said $250 already. Oh. If Harden wins, you have to release the video.
All right, $250 yes. goes to the charity of my choice.
Guess who else is rooting for James Harden to win the MVP?
Everybody.
Damn right I am. Yes. You damn right
Everybody.
I am.
All right, let me ask you this, Chris. If you had to take one side of who will win this wager, though, where would you go?
I would probably lean toward your side, Dave. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would.
And there you go. See, it's a man.
But I mean, the whole show unit should be rooting for James Harden to win MVP.
He's not winning MVP.
Like our listenership should be rooting for Jim Harden.
That's fine.
Because we want to see the video.
He's not $250 to the kid.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.